Well, one day, former President Bush was in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and believe it or not, he saw Moses walking by. And he thought to himself, you know, I've always wanted to talk to Moses. So he called out, Moses, come here, I want to talk with you. Moses turned around to see who it was, and once he realized who it was, he started running in the opposite direction, down the terminal. So former President Bush got the Secret Service and said, go catch him. And so they ran after Moses and tackled Moses in the terminal. And they said, the president wants to speak with you. Why did you run away? And Moses said, the last time I spoke with a bush, I had to walk through the desert for 40 years. I'm not taking any chances. So in today's gospel, Jesus talks about Moses and how Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. What is Jesus referring to? Well, if you read the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the chosen people had been disobedient. They had turned their backs on God, were sinning. And it says that God allowed poisonous serpents to enter into their camp. It says many were bitten by the poisonous serpents. Some were wounded, some were ill, some were dying. And so Moses had to pray and say, God, what can we do to heal them? Yes, they've been disobedient, but what can we do? And what does God tell Moses? Make a bronze serpent and place it on a pole, and that whoever gazes upon it will be healed of the poison of sin, will be healed of the venom, the snake bite. Now, of course, there's nothing in looking at a bronze serpent that will heal someone, but it was an act of faith, an act of obedience to make up for their disobedience. God wanted to have them obey, to listen to God's word, and out of faith and obedience, if they gazed upon that serpent with faith, they would be healed of that poison. And it was an act of trust and obedience that they would be healed if they did this. And so Moses did that. And those who gazed upon the bronze serpent would be healed. The reason why it was effective was because it was a type of Christ, a foreshadowing of Christ, a prophecy of Christ, because Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, those who gazed upon Christ in faith would be healed of the poison of sin. Think of the centurion who crucified Christ. He said, after his conversion, gazing upon Jesus, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. The centurion is someone who gazed upon Jesus, lifted up on the cross, and said he was the Son of God. And that centurion was healed of sin, was forgiven his sins. Think of Saint Dismas. We call him the good thief. He was being crucified next to Christ. One of the thieves was blaspheming Jesus. The other one stood up for Jesus and said, we're here because we deserve it. But this man has done nothing wrong. And Jesus said to him, I assure you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Because a good thief has said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The good thief gazed upon Jesus, lifted up on the cross, and was healed of the poison of his sin. We had his sins forgiven, and Jesus promised him paradise, heaven, even at the last moment of his life. Perhaps that was the thief's first prayer, his only prayer, and his last prayer. And as Bishop Sheen said, he was such a good thief, he stole heaven at the last minute. He was a thief to the end. Now, this was a very important idea. And so Jesus is teaching this to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel. He was one of the leading scribes, one of the leading Pharisees, one of the leading members of the Sanhedrin. And I think it's appropriate that the scripture mentions Nicodemus right before St. Patrick's Day, because he is the only Irishman mentioned in the Bible, Nicodemus. Now, Now, it's to Nicodemus that Jesus tells this very important phrase. John chapter 3, verse 16, you'll see it on license plates. You'll see it at the Super Bowl. You'll see it at the World Series. Somebody always carries a sign, John 3:16. Why is that so important? Because it is the most important phrase in the entire Bible. It summarizes the Old Testament, the New Testament. If you could reduce and boil down the Bible to one verse, it would be this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. That is the greatest verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world. See, God did not want to condemn the world. He wanted to show his love for the world. And because of that, it says he gave. Loving is giving. It's sacrifice. It's self-giving, self-donating. So God loved the world, and he proved it by giving, by sharing, by giving his only Son, his only beloved Son, so that everyone who believes in him, who believes in Christ, might not perish, which means might not, be lost in hell, but might have eternal life in heaven. What a great verse. So what is our response to that? Of course, our response is to believe. What does the word believe mean? It means to have faith. And the virtue of faith is a virtue by which we believe in God, and we believe everything that God has revealed to us. Now, the word belief in this Greek New Testament doesn't just mean a one-time act of faith. The word means an ongoing faith. The word believes is continuous. So it means those who continue to believe in Christ, those who continue to persevere in their belief. The word belief in the ancient Hebrew and in the Greek is a very important word that doesn't mean just a one-time act of accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yes, we do that, but it's an ongoing belief. It's, as Stephen Ray, a former Protestant minister, says in one of his talks, he says, the word belief is like ordering a hot dog at a restaurant. He says, the waitress comes over, he says, I'd like a hot dog. And 5 minutes later, she comes out with a frozen hot dog without a bun and slaps it on the table. Now, the fellow could say, I ordered a hot dog. And she says, that's exactly what you ordered. But notice it did not come with a plate, with a napkin, with a bun, with ketchup or mustard, or with French fries. When we order a hot dog, we are presuming that it comes with all those things, right? Imagine if they took us literally and just said, well, you ordered a hot dog, here's your cold frozen hot dog. The word belief is like that. It means a lot more than just an act of one-time faith. The word believes includes a lot more, and includes the plate, the bun, the ketchup, the French fries. The word belief means to, yes, of course, believe in God, but it also means to follow him, to persevere in that belief, and to live a life in conformity to that belief. There's a lot more to that one word than just a one-time act of faith. But that is John chapter 3:16. The most important verse in all of Scripture. And someone said that if you take apart that one verse, you see why it is the greatest verse. It says, God, who is the greatest lover, so loved to the greatest degree the world, the greatest number, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whoever, the greatest invitation, believes the greatest prayer. In him, the greatest person shall not perish, the greatest escape, but the greatest difference, have the greatest hope, eternal life, the greatest destiny. So that is why that one verse is the greatest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.